Welcome to the Technori Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Catoon. Today's show is sponsored by ActiveCampaign. Go beyond email marketing with true automation by signing up at activecampaign.com/technori. Get your first 2 months on me. Today's guest, Austin Rothbard, CEO of Twisted Road. He's been on the show before. I wanted to see what was going on with him and his world. When he first launched, I was getting ready to go on my honeymoon and get married and all that, and now we got a baby and this whole thing, and it's a crazy time. At the time, he had like less than 100 users for his motorcycle sharing app called Twisted Road. You know, great idea, I thought. I thought is interesting, you know, why not car share and all this other stuff. I wasn't certain of how sticky it could be. I know that motorcyclists, having been one and having family that all love motorcycles, I knew that it was a thing. I just wasn't sure if it could have the volume. And I was wrong. I mean, he's, to date, 2,500 bikes on the platform. People are tremendously sticky. They rent and rent and rent again. And what I love about the idea and what the takeaway for all this is like, build a strong community, deliver for that community, and they will continue to use you. Build a great product, right? It seems like it'd be simple, just build a great product and they'll use it. But the truth of the matter is, you need to be able to have something that people can use in a different way all the time. And that's what this is. If I live in Connecticut and I want to ride a Harley, or I live in LA and I want a Ducati, or I want a Triumph in Denver, you go on Twisted Road and you have the ability to do that. Super cool. So this is my interview with Austin Rothbard, CEO, founder of Twisted Road. So last time I saw you, we were talking, company was off the ground, starting to roll. Right. I mean, it's on the ground. It's riding all over the place.
Yeah, it was going well.
Things are going well. I was getting ready to go on my honeymoon, which was before my wedding. And since then, I married. We have a child. You have children. Yeah. You were telling me a second ago, I have things to look for. My wife already is upset with me because Vivian loves me to pieces.
Right.
She's goo goo gaga over dada.
Right, right.
And Jenna's like, what am I, chopped liver? And yeah, you're telling me there's a chance that at 18 months this thing gets even
more ridiculous.
Yeah,
18 months was like the pivotal point for me when my daughter, she's 13 right now, just like would light up when I would, when I would enter the room. It was really night and day. That, I remember from that point on, now she's a teenager, you know, she's embarrassed by everybody.
Well, yeah. No, yeah, they hate you.
They hate us, right? Yeah.
But so my Vivian gets like, she explodes when she sees me as it is now. So like if it gets better,
it gets better.
My wife is going to kill me.
Wait till you get to the point where you open the door and she runs into your arms from anywhere she is in the house. Like you come home from work and she runs to see you with a big smile on her face. It gets good. It gets really good.
Can you program that so that like occasionally on demand, I could tell her to do that for her mom so that then I can be like, well,
You've got your own issues to figure out, Scott. I can't help you there.
I mean, it's early in the wedding, you know, it's early in the marriage, but you try to figure out how to dominate the world early. That's the deal.
I get it.
So that was what's going on in my world. You obviously have been very busy. I've had this, a couple people on the show where I've talked about your company in particular, because the ride share is picking up in a bunch of different places.
Sure.
And then the idea of being able to use motorcycles and not have to pay for owning a bike necessarily.
Right.
Turo, since we last talked, has really taken off. It found its own kind of niche versus get around. It's a little different.
A little different.
You are this for motorcycles, and it can be kind of, because, and motorcycles are unique. We'll get into this on the show. Motorcycle riders and the bikes themselves are unique. Because some people, unlike a car, where like I might want a bigger car for a long road trip, I'm probably not. I'm like a brand guy, right? Like I pick the cars that I'm used to. Bikes, totally different because it's like cruisers,
right?
You know, crotch rockets. You're a different kind of a human,
right?
Depending on what you ride.
Well, there's a lot. There's a lot packed into your first sentence. But let's start with different styles of bikes. And you said it right. We're a motorcycle rental company, but with 2,500 motorcycles on the site, and they're all privately owned currently.
Yep.
So I think about it this way. Sometimes you're in a car and you look and a bike goes by you, and there's a guy who's sitting kind of laid back. It looks like he's on his recliner. He's totally relaxed. That's a cruiser.
Yep.
And then other times you go and someone, you know, screams by you at 85 miles an hour and they're pitched forward. Their entire head and body are laying down on their stomach. And so motorcycle positions are everything from one extreme in a cruiser all the way to the other where you're pitched forward, and they serve different purposes. Sometimes, you know, with a long ride, you're going to want to be more relaxed. And a short ride, maybe, you know, from here in Chicago up to Wisconsin, you may want to be pitched forward for something more fast.
Yeah.
And so we've got all the different
styles. I love that you call that a short ride. It's just like 2 hours. I guess I mean, I guess if you live in the Midwest, you take advantage of what days you get. Like yesterday, people were buzzing all over the place on the street, took their bikes out.
I went riding 2 days ago, and I was trying to figure out if there were more bikes I saw than cars. It was close.
Yeah, it had to be.
Yeah, it was beautiful out.
Oh, yeah, Sunday was amazing.
So, yeah, two-hour ride, you know, up to Wisconsin, do the farm roads. Like, but if you're going to do, like, a week-long ride, the riding position is different. And then there's bikes called adventure bikes, which are more positioned upright, and they have higher clearance underneath between the ground and the bike. And those are for, like, a mix of both on-road and off-road. So guys go on dirt roads, and they go through streams and stuff on bikes like that.
Now, what do we call the boss hosses? Where does that fall? And these are just like the asshole guys?
The choppers?
The choppers. Like you get these crazy bikes where the guys are like, I don't want to say it on the show, but you know what I'm thinking.
Yeah. There's all sorts of bikes, and we've got
do you have a bunch of those on the platform?
We've got everything. Yeah. We've got everything. We've got bikes that are as old as 1943 or 1947. We have an Indian that's 1947 in Illinois, and then we have Indian's brand new 2020 bikes with less than 500 miles.
I told you this on the show last time. All of my uncles are all motorcycle gearheads. They always joke and buy repeatedly Triumphs. The old Triumphs that love the Bonneville that leaks oil everywhere, no matter what you do to it, still leaks oil.
Yeah.
They're boss hosses, Harleys, all these things. They collect them, they buy them, they sell them. I grew up with just nothing but motorcycle exhaust in my face, which is
explains. And you rode for a while, didn't you ride years ago?
Yeah. I used to do that. My dad rode all the time. My mom would be like, my dad flew and rode motorcycle. And then she looked at me and she was like, you're not going to do either. Cause she thinks I'm going to die or something. It's like, all right, well, whatever. What are you going to do?
Right. Right. I've done both. I've got my pilot's license.
And I think we talked about this.
The cool thing about what we do and talk about Triumph, like those are,
we
really
just had
beautiful.
An insurance company on here. I don't know if you're, you insurable?
We
you fly, you ride like
me personally.
Yeah.
It's right now I'm worth more dead than alive.
Well,
I've got my own life insurance.
That's me
policy,
as well.
Right?
Yeah,
right.
That's part of the reason I'm trying to find a way to make Vivian smile at my wife so that she doesn't kill me. So that I want to live. I know my value is better dead.
Yeah. When you go out to Triumphs are really cool. And for people who aren't too familiar with them, it's like the bike that Steve McQueen rode in The Great Escape.
Yep.
We've got a handful of bikes in an area of Connecticut, Guilford, Connecticut. So if anyone's on the site and they look in Guilford, Connecticut, there's a woman in there who restores old bikes. We probably have five bikes that are all in the 60s and 70s that she's restored, and some of them are old Triumph. They're really beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, I think from my side, it was like in the Indian you mentioned also is another favorite. I mean, I think if Clint Eastwood featured in it, or, you know, it's Easy Rider, it's basically like a guaranteed slam dunk to my uncles. We're going to own at least six of them.
Right.
Like, it's just, that's just the way it is. There's something about the culture. I feel like it's the last, it's not New Mexico. Riding horses is not as cowboy as bikes at this point, I feel like.
Yeah, it's just a great community, and I think it gets a bad rap that you know, our traditional view of what a motorcycle rider is kind of tough and leathery and angry and aggressive, but reality is it's probably the most inclusive and peaceful community I've ever met.
Yeah.
And when you go down a road, if you know this as a rider, that you go down a road and another bike's coming the other way and
they wave at strangers.
Everyone's, right. So it's like a tight religion.
Yeah.
Where, oh, you ride and I ride, well then we both get it.
Yeah.
And we're on a different journey than everybody else.
Yeah. No, I totally get that. That's a great way to put it. So let's talk more about the actual company and how you how and why you built it and where we're at.
So I haven't been riding for long. That's kind of, everyone's surprised by that. I've only been riding around 4 years.
You look like a born rider.
I've evolved into it.
Did you always look this way? Or is this like something that happened, like a bike comes with saddlebags and then it comes with a beard and glasses and that's how it goes?
Yeah, it's been a nice little evolution. So I was with my family. We were out in Grand Canyon. I wanted a bike to ride and experience the area on two wheels, and there was nothing available. So I just started thinking, you know, I know there's bikes sitting idle in people's garages, and I just want to ride them. So I decided after that trip I was going to solve two problems, the problem that I needed a bike and the problem that there were bikes not being used.
Yeah.
So I put the company together in 2017. We went live at the end of 17. And all through 2017 and 18, it was just me. I self-funded it and started growing it. And then in the early part of 19, I took on some angel money, not a lot, hired three people, So now we've got me and three people, and we have a handful of freelancers as well.
Yep.
We've got, first, when we went live, we had 79 motorcycles on the site. I remember being really happy, you know, and then we got our first rental that day. And so we had one rental the first week and 79 motorcycles on our site. We have 2,500 bikes on the site now. We're in every state. We're on five of the Hawaiian Islands. We're in Anchorage, and the rentals come in all the time. We have rentals out all the time because we're everywhere. It's been good. The community loves us. The feedback's been positive. Like, it's going really well.
Have you figured out like certain metrics to that then? It's like, if 79 bikes was on the platform, you got one ride of the first week. Is there a certain sort of cadence to, like, we know we have to get this many bikes on the platform, which will result in this many rentals, or it's this many users in the platform? Like, how do you scale something like this? Because we talked about this before, but it's unique in that in a car, it's a common denominator.
Right.
You turn a certain age, you pretty much get a license.
Yep.
You turn 100, they let you keep it, which is crazy.
Right, right.
On bikes, it's like a subset of a subset.
Yeah.
But the passion level's super high, so the stickiness is crazy.
Right. Our repeat rate's going through the roof.
It has
right
to.
Now.
And, yeah.
And people get on it, they love it, they repeat, they tell their friends. They, for example, like our, after a ride's done, there's three reviews. The rider and the owner rate each other, and then the rider gets to rate the bike.
Yep.
Okay, 97% of those are 5-star.
And that's I want to add to that. The bike thing is unique because bikes, if you're a bike guy or girl,
yeah,
you know that a bike might be a piece of shit,
yeah,
but it's a 5-star ride.
You know it.
You saw the bike. You're like, this is a very finicky,
yeah,
like it's probably going to break down a couple times, right, as expected.
Right.
Love it.
I got to kickstart it.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm going to love this.
Right.
There's no question I'm going to roll backwards down a hill for a second and try to jump start and roll. Like it's, and that's part of the culture.
Yeah.
And I think it's really unique because like this, I've said this to a bunch of people. Anyone I talk to who rides bikes, I always tell them like, it's sort of like, this is a stupid analogy. If you're a golfer,
yeah,
you travel,
yeah,
you want to play golf wherever you're traveling. Like, oh, this is a cool terrain. I bet it's different. Slinging bags sucks.
Right.
Not going to ship my bags over the place.
Right.
If you're a rider, whether it's a bicycle or a motorcycle,
yeah,
you look at in San Francisco, you're like, this would be a blast to ride.
Right, right.
But I'm not going to bring my fucking bike.
You've got three options. There historically were three options. You bring your bike. You ride there was an option.
You ride there or you carry it.
Or you ship it.
Yeah.
Or the third option was you trailer it.
Yeah,
you know, and then the fourth,
or you buy one,
or you don't ride.
you buy one.
Yeah, but
even that sucks though, right? Because it's like, while it is your bike, if I could add the variety of being able to ride a different kind of bike that's better suited for San Francisco than it is Connecticut,
totally,
that
totally
changes the whole experience.
Changes the game.
Yeah.
There's like four.
It's like flying different kinds of planes.
Yeah, there's four types of people who rent from us. The first are people who are traveling. All right, the second one is people who don't have a bike.
Yeah.
And the third one is people who are test riding bikes before they buy them.
How many people have motorcycle licenses like without a bike? It's probably higher than you think.
We don't have the data on that yet.
Yeah.
We don't have the data on that yet.
I feel like a lot, but I feel like it's more than you would think.
And we offer full insurance for riders, so they just come to our site if they have a license but don't have a bike. Because it's common, actually. You know, you get married, you have kids, or you realize you're not using the bike as much as you want, you sell it. You know, you stop riding. So that's the third. People test ride before they buy. And the fourth reason people have rent with us is, they got a bike in the garage, but they're cheating on it.
Yeah.
Like they want to try something new. And,
yeah.
And there's a lot of, they don't want to buy it. There's no other options.
Very cool. So what do you see as the growth trajectory for this business? Is it just literally adding new unique bikes and more users and you're fitting sort of pillar one and two? Or in my mind, speaking of Turo, Turo has a great little business going on with all three categories you talked about.
Yeah.
But in actuality, where at least from my vantage point, where I've seen Turo lean into compared to Get Around, which is like, I just need a car, is those people who want to experience an Aston Martin.
Yeah.
I want to experience this thing or that thing, and I'm willing to pay for it because like, I'll maybe never be able to afford to buy one, but I want to ride one. Motorcycles is even more crazy and passionate than car people when it comes to that because there's so much difference in the styling. Where do you see the most important thing for you to lean in? Because you can obviously serve all of them by just getting everything on the platform.
Yeah.
But like, there's a difference between how you lean this.
So what makes us different than any other rental platform is our community, like bar none. So we are all about fostering a strong community, and that's where we lean in. I mean, period. And so if you look at, like, if you go to Instagram, I'd say two or three times a week, people are posting images of the bike they just rode through us, and they're tagging us. Yep. And you know, you would never buy a Coke and then put a picture of Coca-Cola and thank Coca-Cola for the soda. But people are
thank you for the cancer Coke.
Seriously. Yeah. But they're like, oh, thanks for this ride on Twisted Road. Couldn't have done it without you.
Yeah.
We have extreme,
and it's true.
Yeah, we have extreme customer service. You know, you can contact us all the time. Weekends, you got a question, we're going to respond. Our response time online at any point of the day is under 5 minutes. So we're just building the community that's already there. We're unlocking it. There's a woman that just is just wrote a blog piece about us. She really wanted to ride the Pacific Coast Highway, and she flew to California to ride out there. She gets this bike that she's always wanted to ride. She's been a Harley rider, and she wanted to try this Triumph. You know, so she gets to the guy's place to pick up the bike. And they start talking about where she's riding, where he's ridden. Next thing you know, he decides he's taking the rest of the day off. He hops on one of those bikes, and then they go riding in L.A.
Yeah.
He teaches her how to lane split. They go to lunch, and suddenly she's they have a bond there.
Yeah.
And it's that's the kind of community we're doing our best to build.
Yep.
You know, we're not, people have said, hey, are you worried about something like that happening? And then someone going behind your back the next time they want to rent. It's like, it'll happen, but it's really not the smartest thing for the owner, because then they're not protected by insurance.
That's the same thing that Turo and everybody else does. Yeah. That will not. I mean, it'll happen occasionally if I rent your car, you know, 50 times. Like, I live down the street.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. I would never give you my car. Ever.
Yeah, right. So you go, you know, and so you may never come back.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
But so.
Yeah, I wouldn't be worried about that. I have a hot take I want to get from you about motorcycles. But before that, I want to talk about the business model of this a little bit.
Sure.
Because I think, unlike Turo and the rest of these, there's a unique component of this. So I'm presuming that you just take a rental fee.
Yeah.
And I assume, do the renter of the bike, do you make money on them too?
A little bit.
Okay. So you're providing, you know, this unique flexibility for the rider, for the person whose bike it is. Obviously, they're monetizing something that's probably just leaking oil in the back
around.
Just sitting around collecting dust. Win-win. You also have the ability to add on sort of marketplaces because you're building this community. And so are you monetizing that? Are you looking at ways to provide unique add-ons that, you know, like, unlike driving a car, I don't need to get skivvies. I don't need, like, rubber, you know, rain suits shit.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You have a unique thing that I think you could offer people to sell their bikes on the site.
Yep.
You could, I mean, there's so much stuff. Where are you looking to make this,
honestly,
make up the, because there will be a lack of volume compared to cars, right?
Totally. So, let's just say that we've mapped out every place, every direction we can go with this. But our primary focus right now is just getting people to know about us and to ride.
Yep.
And that's it. And if you look at Airbnb, they've got Airbnb experiences, but that came like 12 years after they kicked off the company.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of ways we can go. People ask us all the time, like, hey, I see you guys have a Twisted Road shirt. You know, how do I buy one? We don't even have a page to buy our gear.
Yeah.
We said
you might want to just add that. That's not too distracting.
I know it's not. I know it's just, it's like,
you'd be surprised what 1,000 people buy a $15 shirt, what the margins look like. It's pretty good.
Yeah. I know it's a good idea. We actually just brought on a freelancer to help us from front end tech. So that could be an easy one for him to flip to bang out. But you know, if somebody rents a lot from us, or they got their bike on, it gets rented out a bunch of times, we send them t-shirts. We've got tank magnets, so people put our magnet on their tank. So, you know, we just do those types of things.
Yeah. I totally agree with you. And from a business side, like, totally agree. Pick your focus, drive it, ride it, whatever.
Yeah.
But I, unlike the car, because of the uniqueness there, I do see like a lot of potential for you to make up what people would argue is your lack of volume potentially.
Yeah.
I mean, even that is really like a relative term, because lack of volume is maybe lack of volume when you're sitting in Chicago, but
sure.
In LA, I mean, that's a whole other thing.
You know, but people who ride will travel to get the bike they want. We've got,
well, that's the whole point.
We got 90 bikes within 100 miles of where we sit right now in downtown Chicago. 90 bikes. We got 150 bikes within 25 miles of downtown LA. 150 within 25 miles. So the variety is pretty big. And in areas where there's more riding, like, you know, Chicago's not the best riding. You want to go straight and flat, you come to Chicago to ride, right? But what people do is now they're starting to say, oh, I've got to be in Vegas. And instead of, you know, what we traditionally do when we have a trip is we say, okay, I got to be in Vegas for 3 days. I got my flight to Vegas. I'll get my hotel, my rental car, all in Vegas. What people are starting to do now is they're saying, I got to be in Vegas for 3 days. I'm going to fly to Denver, rent a bike there, ride to Vegas, really experience the ride, do my 3 days there, and then ride back to Denver and drop the bike off. So now they're making an experience around their work trip.
Totally get it. So I've got a stupid question.
Sure.
And then I've got what I think is a smart question, or at least a smart ass question.
I'm ready.
The stupid question is, if I want to get a bike and I have to get there to get the bike, where do I leave my car?
Well, you could leave it in the either on the street parking. Often there's street parking. Yep. Often there's people have driveway parking.
So people don't give a shit if I just like I'm going to leave my car here and I'm taking your bike.
It's never been an issue.
That's the only thing in my head. I'm like, if some I have people, to Uber to this guy's
well,
bike.
Well, that's the other thing. The next one is you take an Uber.
Yep.
And 10 years ago, you wouldn't have that option. So now you do. And then the last thing is sometimes, you know, the owners will pick you up.
Yeah.
We've had that. I dropped a bike. This happened twice. Dropped the bike off and I have another appointment to go to. Or I got to go to the airport. And the owner's like, get in the car. I'll take you. You know, and they
community.
It's community. You see it in our reviews all the time. People bring a bike back and the owner's saying, holy cow, they returned the bike in better condition than when it left.
Yeah.
You know?
Very cool.
All right, that was your stupid question.
Here's the good one.
All right.
I want to know your take on the electric motorcycles.
Well, that's a great question. So
I'm fascinated as a tech guy, the Tesla thing.
Yeah.
But that's not a motorcycle. That's a scooter.
So here's the thing. So there are people who love them and people who hate them. And I've had electric bikes on our site now since we started. I've never ridden one. It's never been my choice. I don't want to ride a Zero. I want to ride just a traditional motorcycle. But if it's filling a part of the community that isn't filled, it's like, you know, why not?
From a business side, I'm totally. I have no objection whatsoever.
Here's the best example. Harley Davidson came out with their first electric motorcycle. Okay, it's called the Livewire. It's a $35,000.
Is this the one that they made like the false sound? Like
no,
they,
that was actually an April Fool's joke.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah, but that was
But wasn't there like there was something that they did that was I don't know what
was an April Fool's joke.
Okay,
the article said because I fell for it. So the article said that on their new bike, they're going to have an add-in where you can have the sounds of traditional motorcycles come out of the bike on your electric motorcycle.
Yeah.
And I fell for it. A bunch of guys in my office fell for it.
Because, I remember that as an April Fool's joke. I remember that thing, but I for some reason, maybe I just blended together. I'm thinking of, there was something stupid on their bike that, like, Zero didn't do, and it was like they tried to make it Harley-like.
I don't know.
I don't remember. Anyway, continue.
But so this bike is, it's a $35,000 motorcycle. It's fast as hell. And we've got one. No, we got three. We have three on our site. We're the only place on the planet where you can rent this Harley. And for me, I'm just happy we're providing it to our community.
Yeah.
You know. And on top of that, I'm happy that our community trust is so high that people put their brand new less than 500 mile bike on our site. Yep. 35,000 for people to ride. Is it going to do well for Harley? I have no idea where it's going to go.
Because I can get into, I guess, certain versions of electric.
Yeah,
on the bike.
Yeah,
but there is something about the sound. Like, I have a Tesla. I enjoy driving the dead silent ghost car, except when I freak people out in a parking lot when all of a sudden they realize there's a car behind them. But in a motorcycle experience, there is a rough and tumble.
Well, the other thing
maybe
about
on a track, I'd do a lot.
The other thing about a bike, and this is the my primary reason I don't like electric motorcycles is, for a safety standpoint, like you said, you scare people in your Tesla. Yeah. People don't see bikes. They're hard to see because they're so narrow.
The hearing is everything.
The hearing lets you know people know you're coming.
That's a good point. I would actually be very nervous driving on any sort of highway like this.
Yeah.
Because the only reason that I ever observe motorcycles other than trying to be a decent driver is because I hear it coming and I know like audibly if they zip it on the left or right, where are they at?
Right. Yeah. And that's exactly right.
Harley should have just left that little fake sound on there, then.
Yeah, that's right. It should have been an option.
Or give them like a bring, 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 something.
It's more appropriate.
Yeah, right. It is very. This is cool. All right, so what do you think are the things you have to get right, the one or two things you need to get right now to be able to get from 2,500 bikes on the platform? How many general users is it going to one-to-one? Or
No, it's not one-to-one. We have a lot of repeat riders, and we have a lot of bikes that get rented more than once. That's growing. Yeah. So here's the most important thing we have to get right.
Yep.
We just launched this last month, in January. We have a referral program that is arguably the best referral program of any company. I haven't heard of anything like this. Anyone on our site, you don't have to have ridden or have a bike. Anyone can give as many people as they want a free day of riding. So I could say to you, Scott, you want to rent with us? Here's a free day, and hand it out. Okay. What I'd like to see happen is that to start working really well, because as that grows, then the community just blows up.
Yeah.
I think that's the number one thing that's going to work in our favor.
I said to you the first time we met, I love this idea. I think social media is your absolute best friend.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think any spend you have on a marketing standpoint is going to be through creating clubs.
Yep.
And through being able to penetrate certain channels of influencers with video.
Well, we just had this guy. If you're on YouTube, his name, he goes under the name Yammy Noob, YammieNoob. And he is exceptional. He's got 500,000 subscribers on YouTube, and every day he's creating more content and generating new videos on YouTube. He invested his own personal money in our latest round, and also he is driving a ton of traffic, and he's always talking about us. So, great example. He put his three personal bikes on our site. The next day, he got a rental. 3 days after that, the guy arrives, they videoed the entire thing, and then the next day it was on Instagram. So he knows how to make it work, and it'd be great to have a few more people like that, but he's been amazing for us.
I could absolutely, and I could also see like affiliate programs like travel.
Yeah, yeah.
Just getting in, letting people know like, hey, creating sort of a cult type community within the traveler business community, because it's like bikers, they immediately in a room are like, okay, which one is probably the one? You were cool.
Yeah,
it's just a way. Want to get beer? Why'd you choose me? I saw the gold wing thing on your shoe. And you're like, oh,
it's so funny. I was in the airport, and I travel with my gear now, and I rent a bike.
Do you wear the leather chaps, or you just...
I wear those around the house.
Yeah, I figured. Obviously. That is actually why the teenager no longer wants to associate with you.
Yeah.
It's the leather chaps.
But I'll bring the helmet with me because I'm going to rent a bike in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. I rent a bike in San Francisco, which is amazing riding, by the way.
Yeah, oh, I bet. We did bicycles.
Yeah.
My wife wasn't so keen on the motorcycle thing yet.
San Francisco riding is just beautiful, especially going over the Golden Gate Bridge. Anyway, I'm sitting in the airport, got my helmet, and my jacket's packed, and I'm just holding the helmet, and like a guy across from me kind of nods and gives me the wave, and I'm like, all right, and he's wearing like a Harley shirt. Yeah, he's got the Harley shirt on. It's just like something about that. Like,
no,
like the community is so powerful.
It's so I don't know another. I mean, I guess I do Flyboy, like the Flyboy community. We had the guy from the CEO of Airshare on not that long ago, and ironically, he's not a pilot, which sort of blew my mind. But I remember talking to him. It was like my dad, who was a pilot. There's like a weird bromance with their wings.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like they see, if you see a pilot anywhere, it's a guarantee that they're going to sit together and talk and compare wing length of plane for the next, pun intended there,
and so
for the next few hours.
Here's why riding is that to the next level. You don't fly with other people. You know, six guys will ride together. They'll just go and ride. And it's really fascinating, because when you ride, it is an extremely isolating and introverted experience. You're not talking to anybody. You're listening to music, maybe, or it's just quiet. You're smelling. You know, you're just by yourself. They're riding with other people. It's just like, you know, two infants playing next to each other. They're not sharing. They're just playing.
This is a weird thing, but it's like golf. Golf is it's a solo sport. This is between me and the course, but yet I play with three other people
who
we are not talking, but we're doing the same thing together at the same time, and that for whatever reason, or 5 hours, creates a bond that is unlike anything else, because you're like, I saw you frustrated, I saw you excited, I saw, like, it's weird.
And then you know, afterwards you get a beer with the guys, or you get a coffee with the guys you ride with, or a beer with the golf community, and it's just like, we're just here having a coffee.
This could be round two, the next venture for you. I want to do this with you.
Tell me.
And I don't know if it's golf or it's bikes and golf. I'm not sure how we do this. But I met my wife and then now wife, was dating her, and the very like first thing we did was go golfing.
Yeah.
And we made it kind of a regular thing, as like ride the cart, get drunk, play some golf.
Right.
And I married her, and every previous relationship I ever had with that, I never did that before. And I honestly never really got to know those people.
Right.
Like
right.
It just sort of was like, yeah, whatever, it's over.
Right.
I really do think that there's something to these type of unique like activities.
Yeah, because you're sharing an experience.
We're going to create the next evolution of like dating and connecting people. Could be businesses. It doesn't have to be marital. Where we pair people through bikes or through golf bikes, things that are activities they do together.
Yeah, yeah. It sounds fascinating.
It's probably going to be way less lucrative than the one you're in now. So maybe it'll have to be a JV, but you know, we'll get there.
I don't know when I'm going to have time.
You'll have time. We just find a techie, they build it, and we just tell people while we're riding around. It'll be fine.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
This is awesome. Congrats on the success. I mean, going from, you know, under when I met you, you were basically just launched. Under 100 bikes. You got 2,500 now.
Yeah.
This is awesome. I hope that you continue to scale this. I hope that more people check this out. I would be happy to share the influencer links with people.
Cool.
I think it's just I just think it's really interesting. It's a unique thing, and I think for anyone out there who's a rider, I know for a fact that they dig using different bikes in different places. And, it's just like a real thing.
And people should follow us on Instagram. I mean, it's at Twisted Road, because you'll see what the community's like. I mean, all the posts, I'd say 95% of them are just from our community. Yeah. We're either reposting stuff, posting pictures of people's bikes that we have on the site, their trips. I mean, it's really proud of it. I'm really proud of it.
Very cool. Awesome. Well, I appreciate you taking the time and coming in.
Thanks, Scott.
You can follow us at Technoy or follow me at Katoon to invest in featured startups or apply to pitch on the Startup Showcase live on WGN Radio Saturdays from noon to 1. Go to technoy.com. Boom. That's a wrap.